Wednesday, June 16th. I had breakfast with Lyndon, and then worked on the mail. And then, at 12:30, went briefly into the East Room to greet 1,000 Maryland women, students of the 38th Annual Rural Women's Short Course, offered by the University of Maryland. They correspond to our home demonstration clubs here in Texas, I believe, and they're here in Washington, studying everything from art appreciation, international relations, to beekeeping, and public speaking. Meeting every one of them would have been just my cup of tea if my strength were up to it, but I feel strangely depleted after Monday, so I just told them how welcome they were at this house, and how their counterparts had been in our home in Texas many times and told me how to take corn off the cob and get it into the deep freeze in 30 minutes, how much they'd done for their families and their communities to make life wider and more beautiful and more fun. And also added one more plug of my own, but I hope they'd add an additional project, and that is the beautification of your communities. Jane Freeman was their real hostess. I couldn't be a better one. Then I went upstairs and took a nap, a good long nap. Odd that sleep, which so often eludes me, should come so easily both yesterday and today. I must have been drenched in weariness after Monday. Lyndon has gone to the funeral of Bobby Russell in Georgia. During the afternoon, I had a little talk with Harry McPherson about gifts in general and about the triple TV cabinet which Dr. Stanton had had designed by an artist who is connected with the Metropolitan Museum in New York. And I know anything that Frank Stanton puts his hand to would be great. I want to get it for that monstrosity in Lyndon's office if we can manage to purchase it. Gifts are a delicate and difficult business. And then at 7:30, was the most important part of the day for me, a meeting with Clark, which I delayed until that late, hoping that Buzz would be back from Georgia to join us, but he wasn't. So Clark and I read over for an hour and a half the proposal of the University of Texas signed by Bill Heath as president of the Board of Regents about the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library. It is quite different from the first letter, and it does not speak of a separate building. I hold out firmly that that is something we must have. Clark also has another objection. There's a paragraph in it about Lyndon doing lectures at the university, which Clark thinks sounds almost like a sort of quid pro quo. I don't think that's the case at all. That's something Lyndon wants to do, and has told Bill Heath so, but it would be well to put it in a separate letter. According to Clark, I understand the position of the University of Texas so well, because they're in the business of education, not of glorifying an individual, so to speak. And public opinion in the state of Texas, in the legislature, is very important to them. At all times, we have the safeguard of being able to approve the designs of the architect. And I am perfectly willing to have the library building itself joined to the School of Public Administration, an arcade or a patio or some sort of architectural device. I do not want the library to be on floors 3 and 4 in a great big building that houses lots of classrooms for history 215B, government 11A, and so forth. Because this library will belong to all of the 190 million people or so, and not just to the University of Texas, or the people of Texas. And there will be vastly more John citizens and family coming to see the museum portion than serious students doing research for papers. But we think we're getting close to an agreement. Both Clark and I want so much to. I want it to be housed in a place where it will receive great use, and it will there in Austin, a part of the campus and close to the interregional highway. And the enormous hurdle of a money-raising campaign would be bypassed. On the other hand, there's a little sentimental yearning to have it in the grassroots spot where he grew up, in Johnson City by the forts. I hope, though, before the summer's over, the Regents make an offer that will involve a separate building that will be acceptable to Grover of Archives and to the GSA and to us. It was late, nearly 11, when a weary president came home to dinner with Jim Kane and me. He'd gotten home from the funeral of Bobby Russell, that handsome young man, father of 5 children and destined for great things in Georgia, who died at 40 with cancer. And then he'd gone to his office and worked 2 hours, and the shadow of man's mortality must have hung over his shoulder while he sat at his desk. And then the 11 o'clock news. And there were some good things in it. The stock market had rebounded a bit. and then bed. And there was an amusing thing about the day for me.
I talked
to Linda in Arizona. She told me about discovering a skeleton, how she dug it up carefully, piece by piece, finally using dental tools and the tiniest brushes to extract the bones from the clay. But she said, Mama, my skeleton must have been a peon. Didn't have a single cooking pot or axe head or spear buried with him.